why do none of you adults stop for a second to consider that maybe this teenage girl's parents are sending her literally to another continent because she needs a break from your fucking kid?
Hello and welcome to the 17th episode of season 4 of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we are discussing Degrassi season 4, episodes 21 and 22, Going Down the Road, parts 1 and 2. Roses Are Red, Quiet on the Set, with special guest star Alanis Morissette.
He's so cute.
Filming has begun for Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian, and seemingly the entire student body is involved. Notably, Hot Sauce seems to have given a very creepy version of Jason Mewes unfettered access to her students, proving once again that she is very much not a girl's girl. Caitlin is going around giving advice again, this time convincing Joey to send Craig to England for the summer. But when Ashley says she needs a break, Craig has a break of his own and takes up residence in the Degrassi boiler room. This prompts a fight between Joey and Caitlin, and with a little help from Kevin Smith, we find ourselves once and for all free from this horrible relationship.
We're free!
Oh, hallelujah!
Thank
the stars, because I'm so fucking tired of these two. At least they had a mutual understanding that their relationship has been an exercise in futility.
Clean break. It was as amicable as it could be. Like, they're gonna be not really cool to be around each other much for a while, but they'll come around. It'll be okay, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, that's, I love this song by The Script, Break Even. It's like, when a heart breaks, it doesn't break, mm-hmm. It don't break even. And obviously, Joey's the one sneaking out into the hall to sob. Not right. Caitlin right now. Joey's really going through it. He's like,
all right, Craig's got to be the grown up for a minute.
I actually love that scene, but I think that I am just so fucking happy that these two are not trying to make something that started in 88, which is around the time their relationship started. Like, I don't need this anymore. Right. You've outgrown each other.
Right, go fly free. Joey, why don't you see if you can get Sydney back?
Go find Sydney.
Or date a 23-year-old. That's not creepy, whatever. It's a little creepy, Joey. It's kind of creepy.
I need them to do different things. Like, actually, I love the advice that Kevin gives Caitlin at the end about, like, not settling for someone else's view of the world.
So inside of me, there were so many wolves for this episode. Right? It's like, okay. I love Kevin Smith. I think he's funny, mm-hmm. And all of that. I always, like, thought it was a cool cameo. I definitely think, like, it must have been really weird for the people who were not aware of Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
To be like, what is this thing? But, like, it always, like, I always got a little, like, chuckle out of it as an idea for a cameo, right? And the lore around it and whatever. But it's like, okay, this version of Kevin Smith is low-key creepy, like, and manipulative. The job offer thing, it's a little weird, right? But then, mm-hmm. and then, like, the way that he's acting after, after he finds out she's engaged to Joey is, like, so childish and, like, abusive a little bit.
Their whole post, finding out about the engagement thing is a really weird dynamic. I don't like how he treats her. I don't like the whole, oh, the next time you come to my room at 2 a.m., I'm getting the second or third base.
Right.
It's weird. Like,
there was, like, some joking there.
Joking, but I'm quite serious.
Right.
It's weird.
He comes in with this, like, don't settle for somebody else's idea of what your life is supposed to be thing that is really solid advice.
Yes. He's giving, like, he gives very stark red flags. But mm-hmm. then there's also, like, okay, what is the truth? You know, because he's giving, like, also green flags. He's giving,
right, it's very,
you know, he's very boundaries, respecting, yeah, like.
And I'll be honest, when I did my, like, post Eli dying rewatch of Degrassi, which was the first time I'd really watched Degrassi since I had stopped watching, these episodes left a really bad taste in my mouth for a lot of reasons. And, like, I stopped really, like, paying attention to or caring for Kevin Smith for a good chunk of time where I was just kind of like, don't love it.
Got it.
Here's the thing. I don't ship Kevin and Caitlin, but I do think that Kevin and Caitlin is more tolerable than Caitlin and Joey.
I literally have a note that, like, in conjunction with Kevin, Caitlin is actually a bearable character.
Yeah.
He offsets a lot of her annoying traits, whereas Joey just seems to, like, exacerbate them.
It's weird, right? Because we've talked about in the past, like, a lot of the times, it's not Joey that's the problem. It's Caitlin.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and I mean, I think even here, like, she decides she's not taking the job before Joey's had a chance to react.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, to an extent, it's like, she wants the same thing that he gave her before, where it's like, oh, go, even though before she wasn't sure about whether or not she wanted to take that opportunity. And he was like, this is good for you. I'll be here. Take it.
But she once again didn't, like, give him the opportunity to be like, oh, that's great, you should do it.
Yeah.
You know, she's just like, but of course I'm not going to do it. We have a family, blah, blah, blah. So
he thinks that's what she wants.
Right.
Because that's what she said.
But back to, like, the Kevin Smith of it all.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, like, turn me off of him overall the way that it did a million years ago. But it is still, like, none of it sits well.
I don't like the Kevin. And, I mean, obviously some of it is the culture at the time. And, I mean, to an extent the culture now. But just, like, all of the teenage girl jokes were just...
Right. No, that's a huge part. Like, the Caitlin part of it is definitely some of it, too. Like, it's stalkery and manipulative and, like, toxic.
Right.
And, like, yeah, she shouldn't be, like, leading him on the way that she does. Like...
But he can tell that she's got a lot going on.
She's not really trying to make moves on her in the bar.
No, she is very much, like,
she's gone
in
from
her,
being, like, not that into him at all to, like, I
to just pumping
right
yes,
right now.
Yes, and he is like, this is cool, and because she's so decisive about it, he's like, maybe this is what she wants, and he's just going with it.
And he's, like, certainly entitled to have his feelings about that behavior. The mm-hmm. way he responds to it, don't love, and yet the teenage girl jokes we have to talk about, and it's. It's not like, I mean, I don't know how involved Kevin Smith was in the writer's room, but mm-hmm. like, while this is the most blatant display of it, it's not like Degrassi hasn't been pro-grooming. Like,
yeah.
we're going to talk about it a lot over the next several seasons. We've already talked about it. Like,
yeah, the whole, like, and I mean a lot, the scenario of, like, Jason Mewes's character and Apollonia Manny's character, of like, oh, will you wait for me until I'm 18? It's like, it's supposed to be very hokey and everything, but that's like a hokey version of actual conversations.
Right. And it's like, and it's made extra creepy by the fact that, like, yeah, it's creepy enough when it's Mr. Oleander, who arguably, like, you're fucking prefrontal cortex doesn't fully develop till you're like 25. So like, he's still young. Mm-hmm. He's too old to be dating a high school student that he's teaching, or a high school student period. But like, he's still
but he's
young and stupid.
Whereas still fucking underbaked Jason himself. Yes.
Slash Jay is a grown ass man. Like, that's a man.
No, actually though, that's a man. Yeah, I really don't like it. And especially, like, you know, the points in the scene where Caitlin is playing the science teacher and they have to cut the scene so that the other late, the clipboard girl,
who is
the
Kevin clipboard Smith's girl can wife. Be.
Ooh, really?
Right, isn't she a
That's
babe?
Why she's beautiful.
Kevin Smith, watch out. Okay, Davis is coming for your wife.
Rare. Hot, you know, hot mama alert. But no, she is like, Ellie is just sitting there and Jason Mewes is like, has his hand
on her leg,
on her least. She's like, can you get your hand off my leg? And it's like, Ellie is a junior at this point.
Right. And it's like, I don't feel like that would even be like, they're sitting behind a table in a science lab. Like, you can't see that his hand is on her leg for filming. It doesn't need to be there.
Exactly. There's no he's just being creepy. I don't it yeah. I the whole in the poem when you well not the poem the recap when you said that, like, basically the whole student body is involved. I think it's crazy that they have JT running around doing like production shit. And they, like, I don't know, like, the extent to which they pulled the talent of this student body is this what happens? Does this ever occur? Or is it supposed to be like, oh, it's Kevin Smith doing what he wants type of thing?
Violating child labor laws. I mean, maybe those are different in Canada, but like, it's not, none of it is particularly realistic. Like, yeah, you might have the whole student, like, offer the whole student body the opportunity to be like extras in like a big scene.
Mm-hmm. But she wouldn't, like, necessarily contract one of the students to play a major role because most of them wouldn't be actors or actresses. And
that I'm willing to, like, okay, Manny's a good actress. She's Manny Santos. If I were a film director and I walked into
Ellie
the high
did
school,
really good, too.
Ellie did a good job,
yeah.
too. Paige did not.
Paige did not. Paige was terrible. But to be fair, I think her part was really one-dimensional anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know why she chose to speak that way. But that made it worse. That made the already terrible dialogue really bad to hear, like, in my ears, you know? Like, I don't want to hear this. Yeah. Ugh. I just, it's, the whole filmmaking process is a little weird, but I mean, we can suspend disbelief, or suspend our belief for, I mean,
it's a little bit like Wattpad fan fiction.
If, like, what people who have never made, like, a movie before think this is how a movie is made.
Kevin Smith came to your high school to make a movie.
Oh, this, oh,
like the whole episode. The whole episode is very, like,
and it's crazy. It's, this is canon. Like, this, all this stuff
all
is,
this happened.
All this happened. Craig, just, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, does Kevin basically, like, because Kevin does play a role in the B plot as well, or the A plot as well. So, does Kevin, basically
except that Craig won't be working on his movie now because he's encouraging him to go to England.
You can write songs from England. And I'm sure that if Kevin Smith needs you to record songs, Kevin Smith knows somebody in England who can hook you up with a recording studio and a team.
So there was no implication that Craig was losing that job.
Yeah, no, I don't think Craig was losing that job. I think Kevin Smith was just like, go chase the girl.
Okay.
It's also weird that this, like, random, like, grown man just comes, swoops into Degrassi and, like, starts, like, influencing.
Giving sage advice. Yeah.
I mean, I guess they let Caitlin give advice, though. So, like, why not Kevin Smith?
Caitlin's giving, like, unsolicited advice.
Caitlin should never give advice.
You want to know what I think?
No. Are you ready to move on to the A-plot, then?
Yeah, because I feel like... Because Caitlin and Kevin both, greatly fuck with the events of the A-plot.
They do. I know, it was complicated to take notes for all of this. I feel like, did we talk about the teen girl shit enough?
I don't like it.
Like, this is not even a condemnation of Degrassi. Like, it is. Like, do better.
It is. Do better. But this was a cultural thing. This was something where teenage girls were dating 20-somethings and being hit on by grown-ass men, and it was and ogled by grown-ass men, and it's okay, and it's a joke. Not even okay, it's a joke.
I feel like
I don't know that it's necessarily as much of a joke. I'm
inclined to believe that it's not still pretty prevalent. Like, I don't watch TV.
Oh, yeah, I think it's prevalent, yes. I don't know that it's as much of a punchline anymore, but it definitely is. Big, like, Coach Carr, step away from the underage girls. Like, that's not, like, is that objectively funny? I feel like the structure of the statement is like, Coach Carr, step away from the
underage. I don't want to get into a whole thing on Mean Girls, because I have a lot of feelings on Mean Girls. But I do think that, like,
dissertation on Mean Girls.
I do think that, like, okay, on its own, like, okay, there's that Caroline sigh. All right. On its own, there is the potential to satire. Satire, that's the word I'm looking for. A lot of people can't do satire well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just comes out as, like, making jokes about fucking teen girls or whatever other thing, instead of the joke being, it's gross that you are doing this thing. Like, you are. I think that's the intention in the Mean Girls thing. I think it gets complicated because there's so many layers to, like, how poorly that movie has aged, and, like, the sexualization of young Asian girls.
Yes.
Factor shifts that. Without all the
context, I mean, even at the time,
objectively funny.
Right, without all the context, it's objectively funny. But I think even at the time, like, it was not seen as satire because it was so deadpan. A lot of people didn't think, like, I was in Catholic school at the time, and they actively boycotted any of the students in my school seeing the movie. Like, it was very much like, this is filth, and this is indoctrinating our children with filth. Like,
there's always going to be people who don't get satire.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there are more and more of those people now. Sexualizing girls is really, really harmful. So, if you're wondering whether or not your joke about it is funny enough to counterbalance that, it's probably not. Very few people, I think, smart and funny enough to do that well. So, like, just don't. It's okay. You're great at other things.
Yeah. I just don't care for the tone of we are going to leer at these girls. We're gonna...
Right. No.
Like, we're in here. We're literally, like, they're... It's like... And Kevin Smith says to Jay, he's like, oh, you know, that first time it was funny, now it's just sick or something like that. And he's like, you got a problem. And he's like, I know. And it's like, okay, but you literally in this universe have worked with it, and similar to the real world, have worked with this guy on many movies. You know this guy. Why are you taking to him to a high school full of actual underage girls? Right. Like, you could shoot at the high school. You don't actually have to use the students.
Can we talk about, like, that first scene? Because before credits, we get an out of character. So he's not playing Jay. Because I can be okay with the fact that Jay is creepy. We can...
Yeah, fine, whatever. That's fine, his character.
That's the character.
Yeah.
But we've got Jason Mewes hitting on Ashley. And she's, like, she doesn't say a word, but she's so clearly uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there is like, hey, don't let him mooch on your girl just because he's been in a couple movies.
Right.
And it's like, that's not the point here. That is so off the point. Hope y'all all know.
If you're a man and you're listening and you want to know how to be a better ally to women, this is a way. When your friends do that shit, call it the fuck out. Don't just kind of roll your eyes and be like, haha, you're so funny. Don't be gross, dude. Or like, whatever. Like, be like, dude, that's gross. Especially when it's about a kid. Don't abide that shit.
Yeah. It's certainly gross to, like, have to sit through because it happens in multiple scenes.
Right.
And yeah, definitely don't, it's like happening in a room full of people and nobody's like y'all, she is 16.
Right. It's, I don't know. It is.
I don't know what the point, and like all these little moments, I truly don't know what they're supposed to add up to because.
Wait, that's the thing is like it doesn't, there's no. Reason for it other than really cheap jokes.
Yes. It's no function in the story to have him touching Ellie's leg. It's no function in the story to have Ashley being hit on by a grown-ass man in a room full of people.
In front of her as she's standing next to her boyfriend. If you've never had something like that happen to you, maybe you can't really fathom how humiliating that is. But it's humiliating and it's awkward and it's uncomfortable and like you're expected to just roll with it and like don't do it. Don't fucking do it.
Yeah, don't make people feel like that.
Why would you
want to
make somebody feel that small?
Yeah.
Anyway, we know better now? ? Probably not.
I don't know. Hands, throwing up my hands emoji. I don't know what we know now, but I know that this was never okay. This was never a good form of humor, especially in this universe. I don't like it. It has no place, and it's
right. These kids
weird.
Are traumatized enough.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's so unnecessary, and like full disrespect, Linda Skyler, come and answer for these crimes. Thank you for making Degrassi come and answer for these crimes.
Come forth ye and speak to the jury. Yeah, I don't know. It's not
my favorite.
This is the main form of humor that we get in this episode because it is a funny, quote unquote, episode. I feel like I got a lot of shots fired because there's a lot of zingers. But it's like I don't like feeling like the girls of Degrassi are being like the butt of the joke, are being leered at, are being like they're already going through it. Ashley already has enough fucking problems in this episode. She does not need to be hit on by a grown ass man.
On that note, should we talk about Ashley's problems in this episode?
Poor fucking Ashley. Craig just decides that he is going to, without conversation, follow her to England.
Right.
That is all different levels of boy you done.
It bothers me that Joey doesn't, like, arrange anything
before he buys the ticket. He arranges nothing. He doesn't talk to anyone. He just takes Craig's word for it, even though he has pointed out Craig was just hospitalized 6 months ago.
Right. It's not unreasonable for him to be like, no, you can't go unsupervised across the fucking ocean right now. Like, you can't do it.
Right.
I'm not saying
unsupervised.
But right now.
Right.
Maybe we can go to England for like a week.
Exactly. Like Caitlin saying like, oh, I think it would be good for you to get away is like, it's not that she's wrong. I just think that she does not need to go off unsupervised in a different country where he can she's wrong in wanting him to go away for the summer by himself.
No,
not wrong in him needing a change of scenery from the area and like going away and getting away.
I don't know
like
that
they
I
could
even agree with that. I think Craig needs some routine right now. I think Craig needs stability right now.
I think Craig needs stability too. I think that's why Joey go like arranging something with him and taking him somewhere.
And that would be
Like with Angie where they could all feel like go on like a family vacation. That would actually be normal. That would give him a sense of normalcy that he hasn't like that he has been trying to work towards. They've all been trying to like be a normal family. That would be okay after a fucked up year, after a whole bunch of shit has happened to him, like let's just take a family vacation. Let's just go away for a week, 2 weeks.
With a bullet in his back.
Right. He could get away and take pictures because he hasn't taken fucking pictures in a while. He could get away for a couple weeks, go to the beach, take some pictures. And like, I think that would be good for him to get away with his family and like not be, but like to be like, oh, I think it would be good for you in particular to get away. It's giving like, oh yeah, maybe if you dip out, we'll have more time to talk, like to work on our relationship. I don't know. I just think that she's so short-sighted. Mm-hmm. She's trying to like be the cool, like, I don't know, mom type figure.
And I feel for
and
Ashley
just let him do whatever.
Caitlin's like impulsiveness lands a whole mess
squarely
on
her
shoulders.
Yeah, and it's not, and I mean, already Craig was having such intense feelings about, because he has abandonment issues, about her leaving and being, and wanting to leave without him.
Right.
That he's already, he has such intense emotions about it, that without him not take, you know, like, even with him being on his meds, he is still having like outbursts and
like she's
having
so
a hard time coping
happy
with it.
When he shows up, she doesn't want to break up. She loves
no, she loves
just
him.
Needs a minute to be able to just be Ashley,
which is very healthy. That I mean, a lot of people do you in a relationship, but I think it's very important to have your own identity, have your own interests, and have your own things that you can do independent from your partner so that you're not making that person your moon, your sun, your stars,
right.
Because that is hard for one person to be every single thing for you and they don't get a moment's peace and a moment's breath.
Especially when that person is a 16-year-old girl.
A 16-year-old girl who, in you know, really isn't trying to be in this intense of a relationship, but through no fault of her own, she is in this intense of a relationship with someone she loves.
She wants to be there for Craig, but she's not good at being there for Craig. Like, asking him,
she's
too worried. Like, she needs to take a break.
Yeah.
It would be good for both of them, for her to take a break.
And, like, they're, like, that just saying, like, how it's hard, it's impossible for someone to be all the things that, you know, one person needs. Like, you cannot put that all on one person. He needs someone else to talk to that's not Ashley. He needs a therapist. But he also, like, Jimmy is good with him. Jimmy is able to kind of handle his ups and downs and everything. And Jimmy does not seem to be so, like, anxious about the things that he says that are maybe a little off the cuff. But any little thing that seems to be a little bit okay, it, you know, maybe not quite in line with what she thinks he should be saying. Oh, are you off your meds? Like, that's her first reaction, is like, I want to make sure you are not
right, and that's, going I back don't need and regressing. You constantly reminding me that I have this thing.
Exactly.
Like, they both need a break.
And she needs to relax. She needs to decompress and not, and have a couple days where that's not what she's right. worried about.
But nope.
Like, because she's starting to be annoying and like, and he's not realizing that that's actually good for their relationship to have some distance and to like do your own thing,
right, which work is why on the your, adults you know, in their life
work on your song.
Are supposed to be like, hey, chill the fuck out, dude. It's just right,
like maybe it's not the best idea to follow her for 8 weeks of a, you know, like you have to work on your song anyway. Like, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that. Like, you could sign up for some music thing here. Like, they don't do anything to encourage him to seek his right. own thing. They're just like, oh, okay, this must be good for you to follow Ashley. They don't even, like, poor Ashley. No one is considering right.
like, you all
how this girl feels.
What just happened at her dad's wedding. Why do none of you adults stop for a second to consider that maybe this teenage girl's parents are sending her literally to another continent because she needs a break from your fucking kid.
Yeah.
This is how, like, you raise one, like, of those boys that ends up killing his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Joey's, like, a bad dad.
Intentionally.
Or, like, doing it intentionally, but it's like...
I don't think he's a bad dad. I think his heart is in the right place. He just doesn't... He is not making the best decisions for Craig right. and his well-being.
And once, like, again, we see him
and you
meeting
can,
Craig's shit with anger when he brings him home from the boiler room.
Right.
Like, because he's mad at Craig, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand. That's why he's mad. He doesn't understand why he can't
do better.
Like, he understands. Yeah, like, he's like, Craig, you have bipolar. You need to take your meds.
You,
like,
need to be in family that, therapy. Like, your on again, off again girlfriend is moving into the house, actually has bought the house. Your teenage mm-hmm. son is recently diagnosed bipolar and just beat the shit out of you in front of your young daughter. Like, y'all need group therapy. Joey Jeremiah, if you are listening, mm-hmm. we will help you find a therapist in your area. Like,
but get, no, like, actually, we will connect you with resources in your
it.
Community.
But get your shit together.
Craig needs a support system. And it's not like he doesn't have one, but it's an informed support system, because it just feels like they are also short-sighted when it comes to the things that actually he needs. And one of the things that, like, I think I said a couple episodes ago, I don't remember in exactly why, but him becoming dysregulated is, it's part of the summer, you know, it's part of him not having classes and his normal right. routine. Like you saying, like, he needs stability right now. He is being destabilized because of summer. A lot of kids go through that it's more, you know, in the food insecurity. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, is like, you know, kids aren't getting the meals that they're normally able to get through schools. But it's also like the safety, the predictability of a school setting.
The
you're
structure.
Not getting that for two solid months. Yes. Like, your teacher's always going to be there. Like, you know, your class, this is always going to have, like, my schedule is not going to change, you know, from late August to, like, late, you know, mid-June, whatever. I really feel bad for Craig, because it's so clearly that's what's going on. Like, my girlfriend's leaving. She is a big part of my day. She's a big part of my routine. Like, I focus a lot of my energy on her. What am I gonna do? You know, like, he's just got a lot of time on his hands. His routine is completely fucked. Like, I feel like it's, nobody is really paying attention to things that are clearly, okay, maybe we should try to, kind of pay a little bit more attention to Craig, because we know that the summer is happening and he's not going to be at school and we're going to need to help him fill his time, right, and things like that. Like, no one's thinking Joey about him. No one's thinking about him.
Because it was the 2000s and nobody was trauma informed.
Yeah. It's, and I feel bad because, like, as much as Joey's heart is in the right place, a lot of his execution is off. And he really, like Ashley, is so quick to be like, you know, it's because of, you know, it's because you have bipolar and all of this. Like, it's very much like, I'm sure it's exhausting for Craig to be like at every turn.
He needs to not feel like the people that are supposed to love him the most look at him and see him as broken. And while that's not what Ashley and Joey are trying to say, it's what Craig hears. And they need to understand that. You know what would be helpful? A therapist who can explain all these big feelings to everybody.
No, therapy would be fabulous. Therapy of an impartial third party. You know, Angie could sure use fucking therapy. Poor fucking Angie, man. Like,
I loved her excusing her and Craig just upstairs.
She's like, we're gonna dip, because this is not for us anymore. This conversation's not for us. I feel for her watching her dad get his ass kicked in her living room, and then her brother running off into the streets of Toronto, and like having to sit with like a washed up TV personality and make flyers and pretend that she, I don't know. That
you're
smart. I just
you're
feel
like
bad
I would
for
be
Angie.
A better journalist than you.
I can do your job in my sleep, bitch. She's like, I have more personality in my pinky finger than you do in your entire body. Angie is just sitting on some zingers.
I
know it.
I have to give a shout out to Spinner, because I thought that he was going to be still so desperate for friends that he wasn't going to do the right thing for Craig. It's been long enough since I've watched this episode. And I was proud of Spinner as soon as he knew that something wasn't right. Yeah. Which, like, Spinner, you're dumb, but you're not that dumb. Why is Craig living in the boiler room of the school and not at Joey's?
He's funny. He's funny that past what Craig said. He's like, and then like no one notices Craig's like manic behavior. Is it no one notices that Craig is like suddenly talking faster suddenly like
he went to England.
Not speaking like he's speaking like himself when he was like 13 or 14. Not even that. Like maybe 11, 12. Like he's speaking like a younger version of himself. He is very like infantile when he's manic. I really don't know why people don't notice that. And it bothers me a little bit. He's like, oh, my eggs are done. Like,
Spinner's an idiot. I don't think we can fault Spinner for not noticing it. And to be fair, he doesn't really get super manic until Ashley's like, I need a break from you, bro. And by that point, he's just got to, like, get in the cab, you know? True. And Joey is not trying to see the signs, and Caitlin's an idiot, you know? And so they are just going to be like, oh, well, he's nervous to fly all the way to England or whatever. Like, it makes sense. It's still frustrating. Like, where is Manny? Manny is on set. Yeah. Manny would have picked up on it. Hazel probably
would have picked up on it.
Notably, Hazel is not.
Right. We don't get Hazel or Marco. Yeah, we don't get Hazel or Marco in these episodes. I just like how you said about how you were proud of Spinner for like recognizing that something was wrong with Craig. One thing I don't get is that he's like, I'm sorry about the band stuff. Is that why he thinks that Craig is upset with him?
No.
He is
knows.
That like
he
I'm
knows
sure
stuff, but that's right. The thing that he can apologize to
talk about.
You know,
okay. Because like I'm just like it just seemed like, you know, obviously there's the elephant in the room and it's not.
I think it's probably a way to start the conversation. You know what I mean? I like to think Spinner knows he's got more to apologize for. Namely, like,
I would like to
altering Jimmy's life forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. I don't like how no one notices. I also don't fucking like Skinny's ass.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
Well, I specifically don't like him because he tells Craig, oh, we're going to split the take 50-50. But he's literally just going.
Okay, and Craig is a trust fund baby. So I don't really care.
My issue is like, not that he obviously he saw a little rich kid he could rip off. Obviously, you know, fuck that rich baby shit. But also, he is so like he is playing drums like a child. And I don't even want to say a child because that might insult a child. It's like the symbol, the way that, like, oh that symbol God. Monkey. Did you ever have one of those?
Those are terrifying. Like, did you have those in your house? They is are that what terrifying. You had for toys growing up? Was like
my with, mom, like, my, symbol monkeys in my and mom's house,
wind
yes.
Wind up teeth.
Oh, I think I did with the feet. Yes, I had one of those, and no, just it's like that kind of like brashness is what that reminds how he was. You guys can't see me, but I am like imitating one of those symbol monkeys, and I just that's how I feel about how Skinny is playing these buckets. yeah. Also, you did mention about Joey and Caitlin and them not recognizing that he was manic on the way to the airport. Why did they not take him to the airport when he is an unaccompanied minor flying internationally?
It's weird. Yeah, it is. I hadn't thought of that, but it's weird that you would just put your teenager into a cab to the airport to fly internationally. That's weird. That's so weird.
Why would you do that? Nobody would do that.
Caitlin
especially
would do
it's
that.
A last minute trip. It's not like Caitlin would fucking do that. Oh, he'll be fine. Craig's a big boy. He can go. He can find an international terminal by himself.
I mean,
he
can. Is,
like
he
this is very.
Also,
he is, and he probably can. But also, he's a kid, and you should still be his parents. You're trying to be a parent to him. You should still accompany him to the fucking airport. Make sure he's good to go.
It's weird. It's fucking weird.
But we've got to have him just be put in a cab so that he can tell Lou, driving the cab, hey, Lou, we're not going to the airport.
And it's not Lou's job, but, like, I don't know. You could have been like, bro, how?
Lou potentially... do better.
Like, it's not your fault, Lou. You had the least responsibility of any of the adults in this storyline, but I'm still a little disappointed, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe some attention could have been paid. Because you know, the dominoes stack up, and then the kid's getting his ass kicked and his guitar stolen.
You could have prevented it, Lou.
Yeah. His Skinny beat his ass.
Yeah, he did.
Skinny beat his ass like several guys ago. Like, he's beating his ass from several grudges with several different men. Like,
can we also
this is not Craig's
talk
fault.
About the fact that it is not appropriate for Kevin Smith to show up at Joey Jeremiah's house?
Ah, yes, we can. Because I feel the same way. I was like,
"Like that's some boundaries
that's in poor taste.
Crossed.
But technically, is Caitlin's
I mean,
house.
Yeah.
But
Which
Kevin don't know that.
The B-plot
Kevin
real
doesn't
quick.
Know
what
that.
What the fuck happens to Joey's living situation now?
Is that why he slowly fades from the fucking show? Because they
see, he doesn't have the status of Joey's house was just an unimportant B plot.
I wish I knew just what to do
to make your secret wish
to make their secret wish come true.
Yeah. I have no wife. I have no idea. Also, this man is heartbroken and homeless.
It also bothers me that Craig goes from like maybe a little manic or maybe just annoyed with Jay and Spinner existing and breathing his air to like more and more crazy. And like, yes, we see like the catalyst for each like further break to like mumbling to himself in a soup kitchen to fine. No, actually, day.
Literally to saying, this is fine. This is fine. This is just like Mama Mae. This is just like Mama Mae. Which is fucking sad as shit. But also, Degrassi, do you understand how things work?
I know you've only got 22 minutes, but Christ.
But jeez. You have made this little, this man look, he has looked like he has been living in this shelter for at least a couple days. He looks fucked up. He looks worse. And his mental state for just being out off of his meds for like 36 hours, maybe? If that, 24 to 36 hours.
It would take at least a day, I feel like, for them to kick in, right? For you to really be like, I don't think that you go off your meds, go muttering to yourself in a soup kitchen levels of unstable, and then you what, like pop a lithium and you're fine?
The only thing that just came to mind was pop a Molly, I'm sweating. Woo! I guess that's what we are supposed to believe. He's fine. He's good now. He's stabilized. He repowered. He's good. Like, no, that's not how medication works. That's not how any of this works.
It's yeah. Gosh. This is a frustrating finale.
Suspend it all, because if you really want to like have any sort of authentic experience through Craig's like mental, like his through his psyche, you're not getting it. You get a little bit, but it's really, you can't be authentic because no actual person is going to experience this
right
in this timeline. That just, no, you need some time. You need some time to get off of the for the medication to actually work its way out of your system. And he's been taking the medication regularly for at least 6 months. So that's a lot of medication to work. Like, he's built up a supply of the medication and it needs to work its way out. It's not just going to stop taking it one day and he's done. That's not how
it
works.
And then start taking it anytime.
And then he's good. He's good, guys. He's fine.
But they only have 22 minutes, and they had to have something happen for the series or the season finale.
And of course, we have to have Caitlin kissing Kevin, and then, you know, their whole thing. So we don't have as much time to talk about Craig and how
his progress. Mental.
Like,
because really, they do have like four.
Oh, this timeline is so terrible. The timeline is just really bad. But I think that's a lot of our issue with Degrassi is that the timeline is just
the 22-minute format, like where it's linear but not really. Like, or it's not, I mean, it is linear, but it's like, it's still episodic.
It's linear,
primarily episodic. And it works in a lot of ways. Yeah. It's part of what gives Degrassi its charm. And it is Degrassi's biggest shortcoming.
And I mean, Ashley got a call in England. She's probably over there, stressed.
This is
like, I knew that something, like, and probably blaming herself, right? Blaming herself, right? Damn, this is why she doesn't come home. She's like, see you in September.
Because that stressed her out. And then not this September. And she, like, lives her life. And then she's like, oh, it's nice not to have to stress out about my boyfriend all the time. And I'm going to stay in England. And come back eventually with the worst hat.
Mm-hmm.
In a show of horrible hats.
Wake me up when, like...
September ends.
Wake me up when Craig is off of the show, basically. And then I'll come back.
So she's a sleeper agent?
Wake me up when he leaves and I'll come back. Yeah, no, I feel so bad for her because I know that she was over there blaming herself. Like, the minute I leave, he does some shit like this. Fuck it, I'm not coming back.
Oh, this doesn't fit in anywhere, but it just popped into my head, so I'm going to hoard it in here. We have a correction, which is that last week we were talking about how many Kevin Smith episodes there are, and we forgot he's also in Lexicon of Love.
Yes. Wait, what does he do
it's
in
the,
Lexicon
like,
of
film
Love?
Film premiere party, and he's there, remember? Because he lets Paige.
Oh, right, and she finds out that she gets cut out of the movie.
I think I just called Alex Allison, but I meant Alex.
Allison?
I've been watching House of the Dragon. So.
Allison? Oh, have you? We had to get, because you're all caught up
on
Grey's, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know how I did that.
Shameful. Shameful, Caroline.
It's because
you watched an inordinate amount of fucking TV
to
get to
what
that
it
point.
Is. I can't work. Like, I need background noise when I work. I can't work to music, but I can work to TV.
Interesting.
Because it's like, I need to be able to like disengage from my work periodically. You know what I mean? For a minute. And so I actually, it's funny for like as much Grey's Anatomy as I watched, I probably only really watched a third of it. Because I'll be like working, something pulls my focus, watch
on.
The scene, maybe watch the next scene, back to working.
Got it.
But yeah, now, yeah, music, I'm just like, I have to sing along and then I'm like, get lost in that. And I can't even do classical because I'm like, then I'm like, let me just let my imagination wander.
I'm done.
Okay, vroom, vroom.
Let me see if I have. Oh, I have this note that technically Joey kissed Kevin Smith because Caitlin came right home and smooched on him. And I think about that kind of stuff way too often in movies and TV when somebody like kisses somebody they're not supposed to, then they go home to the person they're really with and then they want to fuck. Because that's like a thing. That's like a thing, which I don't. Why is that such a reaction? I don't know. Craig saying, oh, I guess England won't even let me in. They already have Jack the Ripper and mad cow disease. And I'm like, how does nobody know that he's struggling by, what, like, behind saying that shit?
Right? Right?
How did no one
We're just
know?
Like, that's like
how does the reaction, like, let's go buy him a plane ticket?
Because.
Do you hate this boy?
I do. Okay. It is. I have understanding for the fact that it's difficult to figure out how to navigate, you know, in the last few years of him legally needing a guardian, being the parent to a child with substantial trauma who also now has a mental health diagnosis that he's not really dealing with well. And I'm sure that's really hard to navigate. That's why you need some therapy all up in your house, Joey. Everybody needs their own therapist. We need group therapy. You and Caitlin need couples counseling. Or just break up.
Maybe if... Yeah. Or just a breakup. I think the breakup would be preferable, but therapy abounds.
Right, even if
is
they break
needed.
Up, Joey and Angie and Craig still need therapy.
Yeah. Why do we always need the scene with the mentally ill person throwing away their pills?
Because how else would we know that they threw away their pills?
So many tropes. So many tropes that we've got it. Of course, it's not enough for him to say I'm off my meds. We've got to
show.
See
don't
it.
Tell Avis.
I'm over it. I don't like it. The Iris Inn scene I thought was very romantic. I thought that was like a sweet sort of.
Right. I was like, I wonder if that's a nod to like how he felt when he met his wife or whatever.
Aww,
right. Because let's also give some love to Kevin Smith, because as gross as the whole thing is, I don't think that's his fault. I think it's the times and I think it's the Degrassi writers and what have you. The Degrassi universe version of Kevin Smith is not without his foibles.
I think the Degrassi, like, is.
I remember that it's foibles existed, quite so trashy. I had to work it in.
I love it. It sounds fun to say. I'm not a fan of it, but I get that it's right. Not him. Though it is done in his likeness, it's not him.
Is ultimately like awkwardly charming and what have you.
Yes. He's like, I'm gonna try this again. And then JT pops up. He's like, James Tiberius.
Right. Pop up by JT.
It's good. Yeah. Do I have any other things to talk about in my deep dive? The fish bathroom curtain.
What?
I remember the fish bathroom curtain. Remember, do you remember a bathroom in your childhood that had like the fish on the curtain?
Several.
Why was that?
Because ocean is such an easy, obvious theme for bathroom.
Who made that?
I don't know, but do you want to know what my shower curtain is? My husband found it on Amazon. It's manatees, obviously. But the manatees have bunnies and or cats riding them. It's dope.
I'm going to need a photo of that. I change mine periodically for like Halloween time. It was little gnomes. Little gnomes. That's and pumpkins. Cool. And now it's
I love
now
how
it's trees.
Very different
little
we
winter
are.
Trees.
I would never fuck around with seasonal shower curtains.
I did. Okay. First of all, the way that S does not fuck around with me, my house is already basically
you
decorated
know what shower
for
curtain
Christmas.
I want is the one where it's the Little Mermaid, except the Little Mermaid is Nigel Thornberry.
Oh my gosh. Why are there these things that exist?
Because we live in a wonderful time. I mean, we don't. We live in a horrible time, but the memes are fire.
And the things that you can have delivered to your door
literally like
are quite impressive.
Any stupid thing you can think of, you can order online.
Any stupid thing that you don't need.
I mean, everybody needs a shower curtain.
Yeah, with Nigel Thornberry in Nigel Thornberry's head instead of Ariel's. I think my last note was Caitlin's pronunciation of Canadian. Obviously, she's supposed to be fucking up the line, but she's saying like Canadian.
Yeah, she just starts to say Canadian.
It sounds like she's full of like pillows. Like maybe full of marshmallows or something. Like she's just
we just wobble around with joy.
She's just like stuffed, and that's what it's like. Like, would you be the great Canadian Jason?
It's so weird. Kevin Smith is like,
and I'm like,
I'm gonna fire you from my life. give the lines to the flate girl instead, and then probably marry her retroactively, put a baby in her, you know, whatever.
IDK. Chillin', killin', whatever. Love it. I love to know that that's his wife. She is so pretty. She's funny. She's got comedic timing, too. She's not just, do I get paid? She's like, you can come open mouth kiss me in the trailer. She's like, no thanks. No, that was good. Good little tidbit.
And then are we ready to move on to the fashion corner?
Skibbity toilet, Ohio, just biscuit wrist.
Did you say biscuit wrist? I don't think biscuits were the one part of it.
What does it like say, Skibbity toilet, Ohio wrist, biscuit? Like,
we don't know which would be everybody but me and Avis. When we were in the hotel in Tennessee one night, I don't know, we did a deep dive on Skibbity Ohio toilet riz. We still don't entirely understand it. Mm-hmm. We get the toilet part and we get Riz's charisma. So toilet Riz is like, you don't have charisma. And I get throwing shade at Ohio as a Midwesterner.
Ohio is quite mid. Get the
skibbity D. It's just skibbity.
It's supposed to be like they were like, oh, it's like a nonsensical something. And I'm like, then they compared it to something. I'm like, that does not make any sense. So please. What does skibbity
mean? Honestly, like skibbity, I really bobbity, hope that bibbity. Nobody young enough to know what skibbity means is listening to our show. It's not appropriate. You shouldn't be watching Degrassi. That's true. You shouldn't be listening to us talk about Degrassi.
That is so true. Please eject yourself from this conversation.
Take your toilet but riz elsewhere. But it reminds me of
the... Wait, is it the biscuit head? What is that whole thing from?
From
Raven, you lip skillet biscuit head or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Do we want to talk about fashion? Because Caitlin comes in hot with some more lapels.
I was gonna say I've got her bitch ass wingtips. Well,
and the weird jacket. She never wears the right, like, overshirt for these things.
Yeah, this thing looks so, like, it's like a, is this corduroy?
Possibly? It looks like it could be.
It could be corduroy, but it's like a brown, burgundy. Like, you know, one of those
it could be either brown or burgundy. I feel like
I have my night shift on. Hang on, let me look at it without my night shift tint. I would buy either. I mean, it's got a brown or burgundy, and it's one of those honestly little cardigans that tie in the middle. You know, it doesn't have buttons. It's got just like a string and it ties together. I would like this with like a white simple shirt or something that's like dainty, because this is a dainty sort of jacket cardigan thing. But then she's got this really brash, rude ass, starched ass wingtip.
It's again giving like, and I'm dressing up as an anchor woman.
Yeah, and it's like the color is really unflattering. It's like these horizontal stripes.
Choices were made.
Not vertically. Vertical stripes, not horizontal. Yes, choices were very much made. Orange is not the color she should be wearing. And she really starched the fuck out of that collar. I have issues. But yeah, that was my first one. I only have
okay. What's your two next more. One?
I was just really pointing. I guess three three more after this, but one was just pointing out Ashley's hair. Like, I love the length that it's grown out to. It's like the feathering did not always work for me at such the short length that she had it, but it works for me at like this little, this grown out, you know, length. I like it.
I had a picture of Ellie. In her like very dark 80s mall goth.
Mm-hmm. Channeling like that, the wig is like giving very poor Morticia Addams costume. It does nothing for her. None of this does anything for her. She looks like she's drowning in fabric. Conversely, we've got Paige in this like little pleated, baby pink pleated skirt ensemble. I like the top. It's like a sunshine yellow with like tan details, but her shoe is literally a clear stripper heel. A clear stripper heel. And then a boot. Get it? A boot. I don't like it. And I know that the clear stripper heel, like door knockers and stuff, they were remnants from the late 90s. They're popular now again. I don't mind door knockers, but like, and I know they get lumped in. But I think this is a clear, like straight, clear stripper heel. Like, this is a very pointed, no high school girl is wearing a stripper heel.
Especially not one who's also wearing a boot.
A boot. Her hair does look better, though.
Yeah, her hair is looking better.
Can I say that?
She doesn't her hair is looking better.
We're coming out of these dark, dark
times.
My
next one is, what the fuck is Spike wearing?
Spike said, I don't know.
It's like this, like, okay, so she's got like a black maxi skirt with a slit, fine. Then this pale green top that has like a weird tie at the waist, and it's like a sleeveless sweater swoop neck, and then there's like I don't like it.
Vetoed. Got it. I felt like most of the people, like, even like the only things that caught my eye were pretty much like the costumes in the show, in the movie. And a lot of like what everybody else was wearing was so like lackluster.
Which is fitting for season four.
Yeah. My last one is Kevin Smith in his bowling shirt. When he shows up at Joey's house, he's got like the big black overcoat on, like that's very similar to the.
He was trying to fight Caitlin on the lapels, but he brought a knife to that gunfight.
Because it's quite comparatively starched.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's just not, you know. It's like part of me misses the era of people wearing bowling shirts. Mm-hmm. Unironically, but part of me really doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it was a time.
And they're always so loud in color. Like, they're always so, like, can't just have, like, a low-key bowling shirt. You need, like, a bright stripe. How are you going to know that you're a bowler?
Come back bowling shirts. I'm fine with it.
Dude, that was, like, two or three of Bella Swan's outfits.
Okay, and Bella Swan looks cute in Twilight.
She does. I love, first of all, I still sometimes buy things because they look like what Bella wore in Twilight. So don't. And I am proud to admit that. I just bought a jacket, like a parka type long jacket that I probably won't get to wear because it's not going to get that
fucking global warming.
Thanks. I live in New Jersey and it's probably not going to snow, bitch.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anyway, bowling shirts can come back. Anyway. Avis will buy them all.
Mm-hmm. I will.
And live her Bella Swan best life. You can come up here where we have crunchy leaves and we can run around in the woods, but you can outrun me. You might be able to fight me off.
Okay.
Hold on tight, spider monkey. I have Heather Sinclair hypothesis, which is the 30-year-old high school student with the hip tattoo is back. We see her behind Craig in the lunchroom when he's threatening Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we see her again in the classroom scene when Silent Bob has the tampons in his nose. I think she's at his like chemistry table.
Oh, okay.
Here, would you like a grainy photo?
Got it. I would. I see her.
So I still think that the 30-year-old high school student with the hip tattoo might be Heather Sinclair.
I think that's a fair conjecture. All right, are we ready to
fire some shots?
Pew, pew, pew. Shots fired.
My first one is obviously Alanis Morissette. But I have her saying a few bad movies. I'm so sorry, Kevin. That was out loud, wasn't it?
My first one is past that. At the craft services table when Craig says, I'd rather eat my own liver than accept food from you two scumbags.
Yes. I tagged in Jay saying, Manning, do I need to remind you that I'm holding a big scary knife in my hand? And Craig saying, yeah, watch your fingers.
I have Ellie saying the ick and pathetic.
Mm-hmm. I have Ellie saying, hair director wanted a real goth girl from 1988, I guess. And I have Muse saying, he heard that Marilyn Manson.
I have her saying, only trying to get Morrissey here to crack a smile. And then yes, Azure Craig's Morrissey. All like, Ashley led me for England. Kevin Smith being like, ugh, the angst. Thank God I'm not a teenager anymore.
Preach. I have Kevin saying, you were very.
I have when Joey's like all excited about selling two SUVs and Caitlin's like, amazing news for you. Not so amazing news for global warming. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have Caitlin saying, sorry, brain dead over here. And Kevin saying, I would not disagree with you.
I have Paige's character in the movie saying, listen, girl fiend, you and your so pubescent boy, he makes the Backstreet Boys look relevant, boyfriend can kiss my yoga-toned ass. Hold on a second. Chauncey, kiss my Beauregard ass. Fun Row, I told you when you came in here that you were in it for the long haul, so don't scratch at the door and whine. Sorry.
You came in here, you're going to stay here until we done.
Hurling his body against the door. Feeling. Like,
I have Kevin saying, Spinner, the only thing I know is making a movie with a bunch of high school kids is way worse than making a movie with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that was maybe my favorite line in the whole episode. Mine right before that, though, is when Spinner comes over and is like, Mr. Smith, and Kevin Smith turns around and is just like, oh my God, who are you now?
He was done. That take was so good. Kevin, Craig came and fucked it up. I have Caitlin saying, I think you know what you can do with Tessa Campanelli's address, Snake.
I have Joey telling Caitlin, and you don't think, you never have.
Ooh.
And I have, do you have Caitlin in that fight at all? I have Caitlin. No. This is dirty, Caitlin. Saying, don't pull the family card, because if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even have a roof over your head, remember?
Yo, I meant to say during the deep dive, that's why people don't accept help from other people, because they're worried that the minute somebody's like, you're arguing, right, they're going to throw it in your face. And that's just not even worth, that's just not even worth taking the help in the first, like, fuck you. I don't even want your fucking help because you're going to throw it in my fucking face, you fucker. Yeah, no, I can't stand that kind of thing. Like, if you're going to help somebody,
certainly if you help somebody and then they're a giant, like, ungrateful douchebag to you, not that they need to fawn at your feet, but, like,
right,
you know, there's a point in which you can be like, hey, I feel like I do a lot for you and you don't treat me well and I'm done doing that. But you don't wait until you're fighting to be like, I bought your house.
So there, bitch. Yeah. No, she sucks. I have Kevin saying, do you think maybe a public appeal made by a Z-grade celebrity might help in any way? It's worth a shot.
I have Kevin saying, another self-inflicted gunshot wound. He's good at those. Like I ever direct.
Rude. Rude, Kevin. I have, again, Kevin saying, go, the adults are talking now.
I have Joey saying, who calls themselves, or I have Caitlin in response to who calls themselves skinny saying, who calls themselves snake or wheels. That was a double with that.
And I mean, of course, right, like both y'all dumbass names. But Joey's response right after that is, I hope this guy's neck is skinny enough for me to break. And it's like, I would take skinny in that fight. I'm going to put my money on Skinny. Skinny going to beat that ass.
I like when she's like, because Caitlin then goes on to make the very valid point that, like, you don't know this guy. He might, he's probably mentally ill, too. Like, he's another Craig. And he's like, Craig's not just beating people up on the street. And Caitlin goes, no, he just beats you up at home.
Right. No, he just beats you up at home. Ooh. Caitlin got these. Caitlin is getting blown up.
Yeah, no, second time. Like, there is no lie.
This is correct. That no lies were told. But damn, did you have to go that hard?
Need to say it in the middle of, like, in the throes of anger.
Right. Rude, Caitlin. You rude. I have Kevin saying to Manny, you are heaven on earth, love. Now get out of my way.
My last one is Jay's character at graduation saying, you all talk stupid, but you have great beer.
Oh my gosh. My last one is Joey saying, you know, when Craig asks him where he's going, he says, home. Sorry. Oh, Caitlin's home. Mm-hmm. Eddie Ash. He's so sad.
Well, like, of course he's sad. It's sad. He's single and homeless. It's a sad ass
situation. Oh gosh.
No, I think, like, I don't think that Caitlin's
I feel so bad.
She doesn't, she's moving to LA. She doesn't Caitlin's like,
get
Toronto.
The fuck out. She doesn't. She's like, get the fuck out. Just on principle. Like, you and your kids.
Angie can stay. On the street. You and Craig on the street. Angie's just like Angie living her stay. Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead life.
Oh my gosh, I'm done.
All right, so who is, let's start with the super bummers, get the bad out of the way. Who bummed you out?
Joey and Caitlin.
I'm going to say Kevin Smith too, because I think twins. He's officially a character and not a plot device.
The bummer triplets.
Craig bummed me out.
He did. He really did. He really did. I feel like he just had such a hard time, but he was a bummer throughout this whole fucking episode. Or the just two-parter.
Patsalakos wasn't there, which normally I'm fine with, but that also bummed me out.
But her pervasive, like, her permissiveness has literally, it's felt throughout this entire two-parter, because she is the one that let these people in here. How much was she getting paid? How much do we think she's getting paid? Because she's just letting them have, like you said, unfettered access to, like, the entire fucking school it's and weird. Student body. It is weird. They're giving her some fucking so, ducats. Yeah, they better lackos, be.
Even though she's not here. Bums me out.
Bums me out. Jason Mewes, but he is a plot device.
Yeah, and it's weird, right? Because Kevin Smith is a character. I would count Kevin Smith as a character, but not Jason Mewes. No offense, Jason's Jason not. Mewes.
He's just there for the shits and the giggles. He's really not doing anything girls. Character worthy. And the teenage girls. Yeah, ew.
Who shines?
Yes, yeah, so, I mean.
Ashley. Spinner. Ashley. I'm going to give it to Spinner.
Spinner. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's yeah. it.
Yeah.
So let's ask the question and put this fucking baby to bed. It's been real, season 4.
Yes.
It truly has. Like, we lost some momentum. It's okay.
We did, but we're gonna get it back on this horse. Season 5 is a good one, though. I'm excited to move on to season 5. We've got a lot going on, and yeah, we've got a lot to look forward to, but does it go there?
Does it go there?
Yes, we have a brief stint of homelessness. We have a full-on
mentee. We literally have Craig rocking.
We have like a rapid fire.
We have him rocking in a fucking
stage.
Soup kitchen.
Mumbling, yeah, gets his ass beat. No, it goes there.
He literally gets his ass stomped in the street and his fucking guitar thiefed.
And the normalization thieveted. Of the sexualization of teenage girls.
It's so fucking prevalent and gross in this episode that yes, yeah. All that culminates to, it goes
it
there.
It goes there. Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Join us next week when we'll be joined by our season 3 trivia champion, Leslie Maddle, for our season 4 wrap-up. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast is made possible in part by The Dot, View Askew Productions, and support from listeners like you. Boom. Roasted.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. In the books.
Mic drop.
Season 4. Bye.
I did that poorly. I was trying to do it. It still got cold.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay.
Evie Pacini.
Miranda Bickers.
And Octavia Faith.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers,
Alika Fenderson,
Corey Newton,
Tawny Marie,
and Brandy Tucker.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHD CAST. Thank you.